don't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you.
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. They say in Supercoach, beware the fallen gun, and that applies to players and coaches alike. This week, we saw Greg Marju rise like the McDonald Jones Stadium Phoenix with a return to form and 116 golden Supercoach points for his owners. It was a relatively low-scoring week, however, as injuries are beginning to hit big time. Jeremy Marshall-King and Joey Manu are the two latest casualties of big names to drop as Supercoaches begin to run very, very low on trades. Joining me tonight are two very extremely informed super coaches. First up, we've got coach of CMAX Shark Attack, Chris, who has risen to 226th overall. Welcome back to the pod, Chris, and congratulations on your rapid rise.
Thanks, Matt. It's been a good little period. I'm not going to lie. I'm up and about and really enjoying Supercoach at the moment, believe it or not. So, no, another decent score on the weekend, 1270. Bought in Greggy Boy for that 116. So I was very, very pumped on Saturday evening when he kept crossing the stripe.
Incredibly, it was Tubes who talked you into that, I believe.
Last Thursday's pod, he just kept talking a lot of sense. So he talked me straight into it. And, yeah, very, very happy I listened to that one. So, no, very up and about at the moment.
Also joining us tonight is another Greg Marju owner, and much like Greg Marju, he bounced back to a big, big chunk of form. It's former third place overall finisher, Danny Boy Ricks. Dan, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. It's nice to come on the pod and feel like you've had a good week. Over 1,200, which is nice. Shifting through the gears, bought in some really good options on the weekend in Nicker and Marju. So, yeah, very, very, very happy and looking forward to a good pod.
If I didn't know where you were ranked, I would have thought – and I just went off the weekly demeanor and chat on our WhatsApp groups. I would have thought you were ranked 35,000, not 3,500 leading into last week. So pretty rare to see you up and about, but it's good that you got the positive attitude.
Yeah, I had a look at all my ranks over the years. I think worst is 7,500. So anything sub 2,000 I'll probably be pretty happy with. But yeah, times have been tough, but I'm still hanging in there. So hopefully a good couple of rounds to finish the bye and a few pod moves this week.
The Terrace Crew scored a 1,216 on the weekend, which was good enough to see us rise over 300 spots to 664th overall or something like that. So entrenched in the top 1K now, but we could have said the same for Tubes last week, and he's called for the parachute, I think, as he's dropped down to 1,400th overall. But the Terrace Crew are pretty well placed, plenty of trades, and looking forward to the end of the bye period and starting to gun up across the park. We can be also found at NRL SC Pod on X as per usual. Plenty going on there. And also going to give a shout out to the Pod Unlimited group, where Chris, you're climbing the ranks there as well, but still nowhere near the top. And that's obviously because that's been led by Quinton, coach of the Dead Hand Gang, who has retaken the overall lead, and we are cheering him on big time. He's just gone unbelievably. He's got an unbelievable team and really set up. Hopefully he can go all the way, and if he can't, Chris, then hopefully you can gun him down. But a few hundred points to make up. What's that? Nothing.
Yeah. few good captain choices.
Quinton remains on track to take home the major overall prize of a 2.5% share in a Mailbag Bloodstock horse. Shout out to Jack and the boys at Mailbag. Jack, just you need to lift in Supercoach there, mate. You've some very, very poor scores lately and you're dragging down our leagues. So we need you to get your head back in the game. All right, let's move on to the temper traps for this week. Now, Dan, if I had asked you who were the two least likely names to be on the temper trap this week, and you, who would you have said?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. I definitely it would have been close to Appy. We spoke about it last week. Appy Coruscant, people were heavy on bringing him in after his 130 performance. And then he goes out and throws a 24 with a sin bin. Obviously got belted by the Roosters. They all look demoralized, the Tigers, except my man Galvin. I think he's still charging along very nicely. But, a lot of people now, particularly the ones who are running two gun hookers there, might be looking to trade Appy out.
Yeah, Appy and JMK, obviously very unfortunate. They're two of the most sold. Well, JMK's the second most sold player already. It looks like he's got a Lisfranc injury that will likely rule him out for the season. Obviously, these temper traps should explain as well. These are players who are really hot on your radar to be rage traded out. Appy's a really interesting one. Like, he's not a run home hooker, I don't think. So I don't think he can sell him, though, before round 20, but he's going to be a bit of a cash hit now. But he does give you that round 19 coverage, Chris.
Yeah, it's like you say, last week he had that massive score. They look like, you know, they were up and about the Tigers, and Appy was absolutely flying. And then, geez, a week's a long time in Supercoach. And now I agree. I don't think he's a run-home hooker. And as their draw toughens up, if I was Appy owner and, you know, had Harry as well, I'd probably be raging.
Dan, you actually mentioned on the pod last week that you thought it was a terrible idea to buy Appy, that he would easily go sub-50 the next 2 weeks. That looks like it's really playing out now.
Yeah, and look, I don't necessarily agree that he's not a run-home hooker. I think if you're flush with trades, then you can afford to get rid of him. But otherwise, I think he's a hold, and he's probably fine to start as your starting hooker for the rest of the year if you're low on trades and you need to make trades elsewhere. The only thing I can't say, you probably want Harry back end, and he could go up to Harry for sure. And so if you've got two good ones, you can downgrade him. But we were talking about a pre-pod. I think, C-Mac, you're in the boat of you're kind of looking for enough, possibly enough to place 19. There's not many options at hooker there.
No, I don't think there is any options at hooker. I've been looking far and wide just for a one and done sort of enough for 19. So I'll probably just be nuffing straight out because I feel like hooker this year, if you've got Harry, that's probably good enough. After Origin's done, I don't think the Storm have a bye. So that's probably the way I'll be going, Harry and enough. And
it's still a little bit risky because if you do get that injury.
Oh, definitely.
But then you can obviously trade Harry out if you have to, if you've got to trade up your sleeve. JMK is the other one. Obviously, if he's out for the season, he's obviously a sell. So we'll talk a bit more about the hooker strategy when we get to hooker. On the fullback front, Dan, Scott Drinkwater had a sin bin against the Panthers on the weekend, scored in the mid-40s. If you've held Drinky this long, I know most have sold, or not most, but a lot sold over the last 3 weeks, there's probably not much point getting rid of him now and just sort of holding him through until you want to upgrade him to a run home, or if he shows that he's going to be a run home fullback.
Yeah, he's got a very achievable break-even this week of 90. I think you've definitely got a hold. There's too much up in the air surrounding the gun fullbacks for next round. So I could see owners swinging him to the likes of Turbo, even Latrell. Ponga, if he's back for round 19. Latrell, obviously playing Origin, but I don't see him as a – I think he could easily hit that 90. He looked all right on the weekend. That was a horrible game in the wet against the Panthers. So, yeah, a firm hold on my end.
The other one who's really – Dan, I'll just stay with you for a minute – who's really doing owner's heads in has been Charles Nicol-Klukstad, CNK from the Warriors. He dropped a score in the 20s on the weekend. What's happened to Chance?
I don't know. I didn't catch much of the game on the weekend. Off the data, he's been absolutely on fire this year with his base work, with his grunt work, and polishing that off with a couple of attacking stats. But, absolutely nothing on the weekend. Possibly the rise of Tamari Martin just dominating, maybe having some sort
of... Could you sell him now? You probably got to think about it, don't you?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think, again, I'd probably just wait and hold on for next week if I could, or if you're probably best bet is to pick up a center wing for him. So I could see that happening in a round 19 center wing, yeah, it's pretty easy decision. I could probably sell him quite easy at this stage. I think Warriors have, is it the last round they don't play? Otherwise, they've got a pretty decent run. So I probably don't see him as the top two fullbacks you want anyway. So, yeah, talking more and more about it, I think he's a go.
He's 631K, break-even of 139. They play the Bulldogs this week, who we know are quite a solid defensive unit this year. I tend to agree. That's just a really tricky spot. I think if you can avoid buying a fullback, though, to your point, I think you should probably try and stick like a Garrick or an Eero down there, maybe bring in a Greg or Toltau Cooler, who I'm sure we'll speak to, then looking to upgrade your fullback post round 19.
Yeah, for sure.
That's last one on the temper traps, Chris, is pod favourite KPP, Kai Pierce-Paul from the Newcastle Knights. He was named on the bench to start the week and then ended up playing 80 minutes with Dylan Lucas, pulling out pre-match with a hamstring. Owners are kind of just hanging on by the skin of their teeth, waiting for round 19 to go so then they can sell him, I think.
I think that's where I'd be at if I owned him. Just get the next 2 weeks out of the way and then move on to, you know, if you don't have a Fifita, a Katoa, a Crichton, there's plenty of good options in the back row. And it just doesn't seem like O'Brien is comfortable with his role at the moment. Like you said, he was set to start from the bench on the weekend. He was lucky that Lucas was out, so he was able to play that 80 minutes for 34. But if you can just get through the next 2 weeks, get him to play that round 19, so you've got a decent number, and then move on to one of the big guns.
He's getting a bit of the Morgan Smithies about him, Dan.
Now, the biggest concern for him is that injury he had. So he had a foot injury. I think that's really probably hampering him slightly. That's probably why he was off the bench. He's not the fastest back rower as well, so he loses that little bit of speed. We already know he really struggles to get over the line, but loses that little bit of power. He's just a bit of a slow tracker. So, yeah, for me, it all comes down to that injury he sustained. Obviously, coming off the bench, I think he's still hampered by it. He's not the fastest back rower to begin with, so I think just losing that touch of pace, he's just really not in for much attacking, and he never really got over the line anyway. So I think most people are just going to have to hold him for 19, and then he's a definite – you've got to have him as a trade-out plan round 20, round 21.
Plenty to consider on the Rage trade front this week. Let's move on now to our positional analysis, starting at hooker. We mentioned that Appy and JMK are both got their own issues. Dan, let's start with you. Just talking a bit about hooker strategy, we touched on about having enough. What are you looking for if you are, like, does selling JMK to enough if you're a Harry owner or an Appy owner? Are you creating a bit of a rod for your own back? How are you thinking about that second hooker slot, if you're sort of in that JMK Appy boat?
Well, I'm thinking it's fine to nuff, and you want to ideally get a dual if you can. I've been looking around myself as a Connor Watson owner. I've been looking around for a second row forward hooker dual that's bottom priced, that's not going to play, and I don't think there's any out there. There's a couple floating around the 300K mark, which I think I might consider with a little bit more information post the buys. And then you're looking at the likes of someone like a Tom Starling. Now, that's a big risk with Ricky switching up, but he's 250K. If he keeps that starting role, I can see him very easily averaging 45 to 50. So could be a good downgrade option. Backup hooker, you never really play him. Shouldn't be too much for an auto emergency unless he gets dropped back to the bench and then he's a massive issue. So, yeah, I can't find much else. I'd probably prefer to just go to enough and maybe hold a trade if my prime hooker goes down.
In terms of, like, options to buy this week, Chris, Damien Cook's been the one who's really stood up kind of from nowhere, and there weren't many jumping on. He's now still very expensive at 709K. Given they've just had the buy, is he a premium option, or do you think that's probably just a bit too much cash to be stuffing up there at hooker?
I personally think that's too much cash to be spending in hooker this season, in particular. I just think the back row centers, you're going to have to bring in Hines or Cleary. You've got some absolute gun fullbacks. I think there's plenty of other options to spend your cash. If you're absolutely flush in all those spots, you're flying. And Cookie is a good option. I can't justify the price tag. I know he's coming off 95, 111. He's been scoring so well, but I couldn't justify spending that much on a second hooker or even a hooker.
Dan.
Yeah, I think you've just got to bring in Harry Grant in that situation, don't you? Like 630K, obviously round 19 buy dependent, but as we've sort of seen, you want these high ceiling guys, even if they miss that round, like the likes of Brian To'o scoring 250 points in two rounds, it doesn't matter if he doesn't play the buys or not. Harry can be that hooker. He hasn't shown a lot, but I think back end he'll still be sought after. So I'd go to Harry at 630K.
Dan, not enough, but someone who's kind of just come onto the horizon this week, kind of out of nowhere, is perennial bench hooker Tom Starling down at Canberra. He played 68 minutes on the weekend for 52 points, which I believe was all base. It was indeed. He's 242K now. Can we trust Ricky to keep him there?
Yeah, I think you must have had your production hat on there, Matty, for that first bit when I spoke to about Tom Starling for a few minutes there. You can't trust Ricky. It's a real flyer that you're taking. 250K is a very good price for a hooker who's going to get 50 to 60 minutes. It does a lot of work, 45 tackles in that time, no attack. We know he can go there, but it all comes down to the Ricky vibes, which I'm not liking this year.
Look, they call me the Brick Tamlin of Supercoach. I will only read what's on the teleprompter, or in this case, the run sheet. If you go off piece and talk about Starling where he's not on the run sheet, then I'm not going to hear it. So you stick to the run sheet, and we'll be
all
fine.
That's why I'm not
fine.
The host, man.
We'll all be fine.
Jono would have let me have that one.
Yeah. Tommy Starling, I remember buying Tommy Starling. I remember breaking my round one team apart to get Tommy Starling in after, who got injured? One of those Canberra hookers got injured, and then it looked like he was going to start. So I needed to make sure I had room for him the next week, and he ended up doing nothing. So I've been burnt before. I'm happy to have another watch.
Just this conversation is giving me PTSD. I'm getting real Sony Luke vibes about it. Just getting stuck with him for the run home when Ricky puts him back to the bench and he only gets 10 minutes.
Honestly, he did it to Joey Taps again on the weekend. It's just so frustrating. Like Tarpany got 38 in 28 minutes all in base in his first stint, and then he doesn't come back on till 22 to go in the second half.
Stop bagging the refs, Ricky, and sort out your rotation.
How bad is he? At least it's just... Blame the refs. Canberra was so bad. They're such a bad team now. I don't want to go anywhere near Canberra. Anyway, let's move on now to front row. One of the big surprise packets in the front row, and he's a bit expensive, which is annoying. But Chris, Mitch Barnett, 700,000 or just a tick over now. He's been scoring in the 80s and 90s the last month with his new edge back row roll. He had a 93 on the weekend, I believe, with a try assist and a line assist. He's gone straight past AFB as the priority prop there at the Warriors.
He's absolutely flying. Jewel, you mentioned those scores. He's not playing round 19. He's probably going to get that 8th man origin as well. I'd love to be getting him. Yeah. I can't do it at the front row at the moment. But anyone who's got the cash, that's one I don't mind because you can move him up and down. You should have a couple of dual front row, second rowers, and it could be handy with the buys for the run home. I really like Barnett, and he's playing unreal at the moment.
He's just a little bit expensive, like in the probably just in the context of Payne Haas, isn't he, Dan?
Yeah, I think he's too expensive now. He's had some attacking stats, which you won't get every week. The other issue from a strategy perspective, if you're an AFB owner, then you're running two Warriors out at front row forward. I don't see you spending that much cash elsewhere otherwise. And Warriors have a bye in the last round. Very unlikely you've got trades left. you could be potentially running out either two nuffs or a really terrible front row forward bencher and a nuff there. So, yeah, just one to watch out for AFB owners.
A few might still be holding premium gun front row forward Sam Hughes at that time of year, though. Can slot him straight in. 65 points on the weekend, break even of 11 this week. I've somehow still got him, but anyway,
you're not alone.
Just speaking of AFB there, Dan, he's obviously going horrendous. He's going to be 550K next week. He's got a BE over 100 again. It's like as a non-owner, I feel just lucky that I just never jumped on for whatever different reason every week that I couldn't get him. He's probably going to be an option at some point, but what are the sort of key indicators that we need to look for to buy him, number one? But then owners, like so highly owned, there must be some very frustrated owners. Do you just have to pray that he comes good in at that price?
Yeah, I'm not too worried. I'm actually really not worried. I wouldn't be selling AFB at all. I think he's even a buy if you need to do it this week. I think with Terrell May going well again, and has a low break even, I don't think anyone's going to be looking to trade him out. So, but I think he's a definite run home front row forward. If he goes 550K, I think it's ridiculous if you don't pick him up.
Is there a question mark though on his form? Got a BE over 100 this week. If he drops another 50, then like that's not very good signs.
Yeah. Slightly with the rotation changing a little bit. I think Barnett going to the edge, Ford going to front row forward. It's gone to AFB now playing the first 30 or so, then coming back on later in the second half and then going back off for the last 10, which isn't ideal. You'd definitely love to see him play that first 30 and then the back end 30 or back end 25. So, yeah, definitely a bit of cap in that. But I just don't see other options that you can run home with that are going to be at his caliber, his ability to attack, and sub 600K. So, yeah, just a bit of a watch on the minutes, but I think he can bring him in either way.
The Warriors have got a very friendly run in as well. So he hasn't scored. He scored a try 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago for his 103, but since then he's gone 53, 34, and what did he get, 48 on the weekend? 45. So definite down period, but no tries. Which, you know, he's due to happen every now and again. He's a front row forward, so
yeah, just got to get off the floor.
Terrell May, Dan, you mentioned Chris. He's the buy period king. There's no doubt about that. He's probably due a few less minutes this week, I would have thought, but another try on the weekend for his owners. Do you see Terrell as a run home, potential run home front row, or would he be someone you're going to look to move on at some point post round 20?
Yeah. Look, he's been going unbelievable, but yeah, I think post this Origin period, May to Haas just seems far too tempting. That's what my plan is. But if he keeps getting it done, right? If it's a week by week, like this week they've got the Dragons. Yeah, you know, Spencer Linu will be probably getting more minutes again. So, he's not a run home front row. I'll be moving him to Payne Haas. That's what I'd be doing if I own. He's done his job after round 20, and thank you very much, Terrell. And
I actually kind of want him for that round 20 game against Melbourne, which is after Origin. I think it's on the Friday night. I can't confirm that right now, but I'll try and look that up. But given what we've seen Robbo do, you'd have to think he'll get big minutes again there with the Origin stars backing up. And I feel like that's kind of when you might go, okay, well, that the minutes might start getting lower for Terrell. But he's just so good that maybe Robbo's just working him into the season. He's held him for these big buy rounds. I think it's just a play it by ear. I don't think I don't know why you need to get rid of him this week. Dan, you don't have a different opinion on that, do you?
No, I think it's more just for freeing up cash in other positions, like the likes of Hines on offer, maybe some big center wings we might talk about as well. So I can see him moving on. Like this was a post-Origin round and he didn't really get a huge amount of minutes. He scored a try and made those tackle busts and got 75. So without that, he's looking at maybe a 40 to 50 score. So I think you could maybe expect the same sort of rotation round 20 as well with a harder matchup against the Storm. So I'm pretty keen on letting him go. I guess the only question is, if you keep him this week, do you play him or do you try to play someone else there?
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circle. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
All right, let's move on down to second row forward now, where all of a sudden second row is absolutely jam-packed. And we've spoken a lot about strategy for second row, for not needing really too many bench second rowers in your best 17. Notwithstanding that, there are a lot of good options at the moment. Starting with, I can only start at one place, and that's the Cardi Party. He's got a three-round average of around 75. He's going really, really well. He's got his expected minutes are locked with the injury to Jermaine Hopgood. He set up a ridiculous try on the weekend. Dan, is it too late to jump in the Cardi Party?
I'm not sure it is. The only thing that would be turning me off is probably my numbers for round 20. So if you're loaded up on Sharkies and Eels and you're bringing in another, that's probably the only reason why I would see him as not a decent option. I think he's still a good price. I think he started the year at, 700K or something like that. He's throwing offloads for fun. That was unbelievable, his try assist on the weekend. So, you know, in a team that's not doing well and not getting a huge amount of attacking opportunities, I think he's a bit of a shining light.
Yeah, completely agree. I'm really happy to own, and I think he's a good pot option. Chris, 598,000, Hamole Olakau'atu is obviously been playing Origin. He'll miss round 19. But he's coming off a big ton against the Dragons. Same price as Cardi, probably has more upside than Cardi, I would have thought, but doesn't have the buyer coverage in 19, but he does play 20 in saying that. So is he someone that you're looking at as a potential sort of fourth, second row forward, or potentially even third?
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting, who would you rather out of those two, really? There's a couple of different ways to look at it. I like Ola. I think he'll end up being my sort of a fourth second rower. I think Manly will come home strong as well. Turbo comes back. I think they'll finish the season strong coming off Origin. Hopefully he gets a boost in confidence and Ola, you know, hits the ground running and goes on a real tear for the run home. I really like him. So he will be coming into my side at some point.
Yeah.
Probably obviously post 19.
Yeah, I would almost be tempted to go, depending on your team makeup, I'd almost be tempted to get him in if that's where you're looking to make a trade this week. He's in saying that 598K, break even 63, it's not urgent. But Dan, I think he's a pretty nice pod. What are your thoughts on Hamole?
Yeah, I think he's a great option. Excellent price for him. I want him in my side for the back end. I will be looking to get him in, but it's probably not going to be this week just for my team. But what about Matty Wava? Any news on Origin? Is there any chance that he misses?
Look, I mean, he's probably the only one that they could drop, but I don't know why they'd bother. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he's looked pretty good. Yeah.
Would be juicy for next round.
Well, if he was to miss Origin and play round 19, he'd be a fairly popular purchase, I would have thought. Who's he running at for the Cowboys this week? Is that Lukey or
it's got to be Lukey on the left or Finny Fiuaki?
Nanai's back.
Nanai.
He's back on the right. So it'll be Lukey probably.
Lukey, yeah.
But yeah, the Cowboys have been pretty leaky. So probably expect a good score from Ola this week. The other one on our 2RF forward list is Keon Kualamatangi. Now, he's been in red hot form since moving to lock. Very much hinges on TLT tomorrow, Dan, as to if he's going to, you would have to think Cameron Murray starts at lock this week, I would have thought.
Yeah, he's just been so good at lock. Like his numbers are phenomenal when you look at it. So unfortunately, he's got Cam Murray there as well. He's probably going to the edge. I think Jai Arrow's now out, isn't he, for the season, or he's going to be. So he's probably going back to the 80 minutes on the edge. And I think just at his price now, I think you've missed the boat.
I agree with that, Dan, but is there any chance either of you can see him staying in the middle and potentially playing front row and see us having both Murray and Colin Matangi playing through the middle? If that's how it lands, would you consider grabbing him or holding him?
Only if he gets named at prop, so 10 or yeah. 8. I think there's one more change of dual positions. So he missed out on this.
No, this is it.
One just gone.
That's it. It's over.
Oh, there's no 24.
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's a bit hard. I think I'm more looking for bringing in now center wingers who can go big for that round 19, who you're able to keep and play on matchups. So it's probably a miss for me.
Down to halfback, yeah. And there is only one name. I say that a lot about this bloke, but there's only one name on the horizon at halfback this week, and it is the one and only Prince Nico Hines. Sellers have been in clover with two mediocre scores coming back from that calf injury and a somewhat what's the term to describe his origin appearance? Can't even think, but. He did not do too well instead of Origin Game 1. But on the Supercoach front, he's down to 750K roughly now, I believe, and 125 BE. He scored 48 points on the weekend against the Bulldogs with two missed goal kicks, 741,000. I am all over buying Nico this week. I think it's a perfect week to play in the Titans. He's a great price. His BE is not outrageous now. At 118. So he could hit that very, very easily. He's a perfect VC or C option. And Chris, there seems to be a bit of negative sentiment around Nico at the moment. And even that's extending into Supercoach. So coaches are not as keen to be bringing him in. I say that, but he's also the most purchased player this week.
don't bring him in. I will be. I'll be over the moon. The more people that don't. Look, I think I've said it for a couple of weeks. He's you can't. I don't believe you can take him on at halfback. He's at 740K. It's as cheap as you're going to get him in, or maybe not. Maybe next week you can get him a little bit cheaper. But there's every chance he turns one on against the Titans, bounces back, gets his confidence back, and he's flying and airborne again. So I'm getting Nico this week. I'm just making it happen. Put him there. Leave him there for the rest of the year with that juicy run home that the Sharks have got, and hope he gets his mojo back and, you know, is the premium super coach player that he has been for the last couple of years.
Dan, the bigger problem for most super coaches is not that they want Nico Hines. It's who to trade him to, who to trade him from. So I'm trading Wishart, and look, Wishart's been a wonderful soldier for me the last 4 to 6 weeks. Loved owning him, loved watching him play. They're playing the Tigers this week. It's not the perfect week to sell, but circumstances, he's not going to be a keeper. So he's a pretty easy sell to Nico. For those coaches who are running like a Burton and Hughes and Dylan Brown and Galvin sort of combo, I think that's a pretty popular four ball there. Who out of those guys, or even a Sammy Walker, who out of those lot, if you don't own a Wishart or someone really easy to sell to Nico, who do you think is the most viable to move on for Nico?
For me, it's out of like a Galvin and Birdo. It's a really tough decision because they're both priced about the same. Burton has a higher ceiling, no doubt. It just depends on then your team makeup, how many times you're looking to play him back end of the year. I'm not against running a second 5'8 who's not worth that much and getting the cash to bring up premiums elsewhere. Galvin doing a great job. In my team, I don't have Burton. I'm happy to keep Galvin for the rest of the year and plays around 19. So very team dependent. If you've got numbers for 19, you could easily take Galvin out and bring in Nico. Burton, bit of a pod play, but and he's a good price now. But one of those two. I would definitely not be dropping Hughes. I think C-Mac, you're in that position, holding on.
Yeah, definitely holding Hughes. I'm finding another way through Jules to get Nico in this week. The Manu injury has allowed me to do that, and having a couple of Jules to be able to move around. But no, I'm holding Hughes and. There is some part of me that maybe wants to hold Hughes for the run home, but I'll just see how it plays out when, you know, Munsters and the Pappenhausens of the world come back. But no, hold Hughes if you've got him.
Hughes should time pretty well for Munster coming back and Cleary coming back at a similar time. I think once Munster's back in that team, Hughes to Cleary should be a pretty easy sideways move. I would have thought.
Yeah, agree with that.
But yeah, I think my main premise is you can't really wait a week on Nico. Like, I think this is the week to get him. Look, he might drop another 60 and then you can pick him up even cheaper again next week against the Tigers in round 19. I just don't see how you avoid it. But yeah, I think this is the week for Prince Nico. Down at 5'8", Dan, we just spoke about Birdo. I think I'd be trying to keep Burton over Galvin would be my gut feeling there, just at the price. I know Galvin's got something about him where he can just accumulate points very easily. Like, he's got a bit of a running game. Like, he got 59 on the weekend and he didn't get any attack. More? Was it more? No. 59. And then, which Burton doesn't have, right? Burton's got a very low floor. I just feel on the run in that Birdo still might have a bit more upside, but I hadn't actually thought of it, but I'd gun ahead. I'd probably keep Birdo at the moment.
Yeah. Look, Galvin on his side is Adam Dewey has come back on that left center spot. I think that's huge for Galvin. I think they're going to him a lot more. Very good for Samuel Afainu as well. So, you know, Dewey has looked pretty good. He got a 39 in a really tough game on the weekend, but he's looking like he's getting a lot of ball and demanding a lot of ball. And I think that's only good for Galvin. So, yeah, I really like Galvin. I really like watching him play. So I'd probably lean towards holding him.
He got sin-binned, Dewey. He did the hip drop. Is it just while we're on Dewey, he's not on the run sheet, Dan, but is Dewey could he be an option while he's playing center at 5'8"?
Well, he's just missed out on the dual position. If he got one more round in, he would have got dual center wing 5'8". So he's only at 5'8", I believe. Yeah, so tough to bring in there at this stage. Maybe a late flurry on him, but just hard to bring in.
Yeah, late season pod play. Just keep him on the radar for later in the year. Chris, I always have to defer to you because you're our Max Plath / John Plath expert. With James,
subject James matter Kagan, expert, yes.
It looks like Max Platt's going to get that hooking role, and Kurt Donoghue's out for 3 weeks as well, suspended, so that firms that up even more. But Wayne was quoted today that it was likely be that Max Plath will take over the number 9 jersey. He's certainly built for it, very nuggety. What do you think in terms of that being good for his super coach output at hooker rather than lock? And do you think he'd be an 80-minute guy there?
Yeah, look, first part of the question is no, I don't think it's a good thing. A couple of times I have seen him go to hooker. Hasn't sort of passed the eye test, one, for me, and two, I don't think it's been great for his super coach scores. On the weekend at lock, he was scoring quite well before the JMK injury. He's still got a 64, but he yeah, look, it worries me. He was never really going to be held for the whole season for me anyway. I'll be moving him on probably after 19 or 20. But will he get the 80 minutes? Who else is going to play that role?
I don't know.
So if Donoghue
might have someone else.
Yeah, so he might just have to through necessity, but it doesn't mean I want him there for that. No.
No, I think he's priced too high. I don't like hooker. I'd much rather him at lock. He has a lot more runs. He's very quick and agile off the mark. So he's getting that 8-plus meters, two-pointer every hit up he takes. He's just not going to get the same at hooker. And, I mean, he might go into lock for a break, but I'd suggest he probably goes off for a break. Might be good for Josh Kerr, actually. Might be good for him to get back to 40, 45 minutes as a cheap front row forward, third front row forward option. So just be on the lookout for that round 19.
Moving on to centre wing, and it's really the point of the season where the mid-range late buy options are coming to the fore, and we've got a stack of them this week. So let's start with Greg Marju, who bounced back to relevance, and some very shrewd super coaches, including yourselves, got on him last week for his 116. He's 505K now. I don't have the break even directly in front of me, but -12, very juicy price. He's going back up. He's got Kalen Ponga on the horizon. Chris, did you see enough on the weekend that Greg sort of bounced back to some form and we can expect to see these scores up and above over 50 from here on out?
Look, it was obviously inflated by a couple of tries, which could have been a third. Yeah. If KPP had just stayed on side, but I'm not filthy. Look, I feel like his base has probably disappeared a bit this year, but the real positive for me, I think you mentioned, was that Ponga's on his way back. I think that brings a lot of the Knights back into relevance. He is one of them for me. He was a good price to pick up last week. I still think he's a good price to grab now. They don't have the worst run home. I think he's a great option. I really do. And I think with Ponga coming back, his scores are only going.
Dan, haters will say that it's chasing last week's points, bringing Greg in this week. But we all know that the key ingredient in the recipe to Supercoach glory is picking up these gun players at value prices. And if you can get Greg back to that form where he finished as a top center wing last year, starting this season at around 700 or more thousand at a 200K discount or more, I think there's enough there to suggest, look, you know, we doubted you, Greg, but you're still a really good buy this week.
Yeah, from a very biased owner perspective, I'm thinking round two he got injured. He was, I think he had a week off potentially, and his base hasn't been the same since. So I'm hoping that little break he had with the week off of the bye has just turned him into gold, and he is just absolute value at his price. I couldn't knock anyone bringing him in. I think it's a pretty simple round 19 option, particularly, again, for those guys who have a lot of round 20 buy sitters. So he plays that round 20, so I think he'll be valuable for that run. And they've got a good run the next two. So, yeah, easy to bring in this week.
Our next mid-ranger, who's been popular, I feel like he's been popular for about a month. It's Ronaldo Militalo from the Sharks. He dropped a score of 41 on the weekend, a bit underwhelming, but he's still sort of – everyone's kind of waiting for that run that he's sort of inevitably going to go on, where he gets a few meat pies and can bust out some scores. But he just hasn't been getting it done, Chris, in the last 2 months since his scores of 110 and 94 in round 6 and 7. He hasn't been able to sort of get above – he's gone above 70 once since then. And in that time, he's got a couple of tries as well. Are we seeing what Ronnie is, or do we think that there's more to come?
I think over a fair period of time, this has been what Ronnie is. He has these weeks where if he drags a couple of tries, that obviously he's flying, but the base has never been huge for Ronnie. It was at the start of the year, I must admit, but I think he's just gone back to the mean for him. He's always been very dependent on tries. He's a winger. That's not going to change. Look, at the price, I can understand, but I don't think I can, just from what I'm seeing.
Dan, Tommy Trbojevic is back this week, and we'll get to him when we get to fullback, but he's going to be playing centre for Manly, and there's some quotes floating around from Seabold saying, we're going to see how Cooler goes at fullback for the next few weeks. We all know what an absolute jet Toletau Cooler is when he moves back to fullback. He played really well in his one appearance there this year against the Broncos, where he sustained an AC joint injury. He scored 68, I think, but that could have very easily been a ton. We know what he did at the back end of last season with back-to-back daddy tons to finish the year at fullback. He's 434K, dirt cheap, absolute value if he is playing fullback. Do you think you could prioritize him above someone like a Greg Marju at a bit of a cheaper price this week? Or do you think Greg's a higher priority? Can you have a look at him this week? How do you sort of weigh that up in a prioritization sense?
For me, a bit different to Marju. Marju can only go up, I think. There's only positives with him at his price and kind of he's been at his floor for quite a while until the weekend. Cooler, there's just too much around what Manly are actually going to do. They're obviously going to not name Turbo at fullback as per reports. If Cooler gets named at fullback, I don't know if he plays there in attack. I don't know what their plan is actually to do there. So, like, why are you not feeding Turbo as much ball as possible? Maybe there's something there. So if Cooler goes back to, say, attacking at center, I think it's absolute brains for bringing him in. So I'm really keen to get just wait on him for 1 week. He doesn't have a really low break even either. Even if he gets 100 this week, yeah, you miss out on the points. You can see what he's the clarity in the role for next week and bringing him in.
Dude, you've 19. Really got your eye, Dan. I really like the sound of that chat. This is why you're the champ kind of the pod, and I'm Brian, and I'm Brick Tamlin. You're bringing the sports insight. I actually hadn't thought. I hadn't thought about that opportunity where he might not actually play fullback in attack. I've been waiting for this week for about 2 months. It feels like to pick up Cooler at 400K when he plays fullback. But I think all things being equal, I think you're right. I think I'll be probably bringing in Greg and waiting a week on Cooler. And you can be able to bring him in sub 500K next week, no matter what happens, even if he gets a ton this week for around 19, if we like what we see. Moving on to the premium options at center wing. And one guy, Chris, who's really put his name up in lights with a massive score last week. I think he would have been popular last week, bar his big 119 BE, and that's Bradman Best. He had a 2-try effort, busting tackles, just looked like an all-round weapon, looks really fit now. He's 630-something K. He's 130 to 140K more expensive than Greg Marju, so I think for that reason he won't be as popular again. But he's definitely a pretty big ultra pod with some serious upside.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think under 3% ownership at the moment. At 650, it's like, I don't feel like you're priced out of it. Definitely not. He looks so good and strong and fit on the weekend. The 130 speaks for itself, but he had 120 not so long ago against the Tigers before a hamstring injury as well. So coming back from injury, looks strong, played well on the weekend. Again, I'm going to mention that Ponga's coming back, which will light up that left edge again for the Knights. He's definitely someone who you could go to. I'd love to be getting Bradman Best, but there's just Dan, can't have too many Knights at the moment.
Just to add to Chris's point there, the question for you is this a situation where if you have Greg already, can you have too much of a good thing on that Knights left edge? Is it a Turbo Garrick situation, or is it a one gets in the other one's way? Particularly once Ponga gets back, and there are too many. Is there sort of too much action there for three men?
Yeah, I think two is plenty. Three is too much. If you have your eye on Kalen Ponga for that fullback spot for the run home, I wouldn't be picking up the trio. I wouldn't be going Marju, Best, and Ponga. I just don't think there's enough points there. They would share the load a little bit. Marju Ponga combination sounds the best to me. If you don't have Marju and you want to take a flyer and Best, absolutely fine. He looked very good. Bit injury prone, but a good one for the run.
Start calling you Jono, Chris, if you start chiming in with questions like that. also in this premium bracket, and this is probably the most one of the most interesting players of the week for me, is Brian To'o. He's 776K, break even of minus 23. Incredibly difficult to bring in, incredibly highly priced. But he's coming off some massive scores and he's really looked the business. Panthers have an incredible run home post-Origin. Dan, I know he's right on your radar this week.
Yeah, bizzer in business.
He's in biz. He's in business, B-I-Z-Z-N-E-S. Yes.
Thanks for clarifying that that spelling. Look, yeah, I'm looking to bring him in potentially. I'm looking to boost. I'm looking to nuff out and bring in Bizza at 770K. Like, it feels like you might miss him if you don't get him this week. He'll probably be 800 plus for at least three or four rounds, and Panthers have a delicious run coming up. Slight risk he gets rested around 20, although I think Cowboys getting the win over the Panthers on the weekend might have something to do with maybe having a couple of guys backing up. So, I think if you can swing him, if you've got a huge bank, I see him as a premium that you want for the run.
Probably the take-on option for Toto is and we won't spend too long on him because he's so heavily owned, but Dom Young is just a really big conundrum for non-owners now. He's 750K as well, and he's coming off another big ton against the Tigers on the weekend. The Roosters draw, you kind of go, oh, they've got an easy game this week, got an easy game this week. Then you look a month ahead and they've got another four easy games coming up. They've got the bye, obviously, in 19 and 23. But you really can't – he's fairly insatiable, Dom Young, Chris.
Oh, I had planned on moving him on just because I felt like I had too many Roosters. But now with the Manu injury, Manu's probably got to go. And Dom Young, just like – I reckon there'll be a day with that draw that he probably scores four or five tries against someone. I honestly believe it. I think – I don't know. Look, if I didn't own him, I don't think I could bring him. Oh, geez, I don't know. It'd be really hard to bring him in that price because, like we've mentioned, there's some other players on the horizon that you need to have that cash for. But my God, some games watching him is going to be such a tough watch as a non-owner. So I'd seriously try to find a way because I really feel like they've run home and he's...
Yeah, and I've got to go back to you here because this is your conundrum, isn't it? Like, I think you've sort of set up your trades this week to get one of Bizza or Dom Young.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to team balance. So I'm a big believer in that. Roosters have a bye left, round 23. I've already got five or six Roosters in my side, which was great on the weekend. Mm. But you just can't hold too many of them, particularly for that round. It's gonna be something like 2.5 million sitting on your bench plus. So, look, there are people you're going to get out, like Sammy Walker probably goes, Terrell May probably goes. There's a few going, but I just don't think I can carry him, particularly if he wasn't as popular as he is. I'd definitely take him over To'o, but I just don't see him as the main option. I'd prefer To'o jump ahead.
Down to his fullback, and it's a little bit quiet this week at fullback bar one man, and that's Tommy Trbojevic, Manly's own. It's great to see him back playing in the NRL. It's obviously a better place for it to have him back. But interestingly, he's going to be named at centre tomorrow at TLT, as we mentioned earlier. Chris, I think that really puts the slows on anyone thinking about him as a purchase. You can't really possibly bring him in while he's playing centre, certainly until we get a bit of a look at his role.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just a wait and see for a couple of weeks. Hopefully, if he is named at centre, we go back to that 2021 Origin series where he plays that roaming centre role where, you know, Seibold gives him license to roam all over the field, pop up wherever he likes. If that's the case, he's still very much in the picture. If he gets stuck to one side, then it's probably an avoid. But I think they'd be mad not to use him wherever they can. Obviously, one of the most brilliant attacking players in the competition.
We spoke a little bit about how we think we should be waiting to bring in these premium guys now at fullback. Obviously, most people are running Teddy and then either a dual center wing or some people might have Trell still. But probably not purchasing that premium option until Origin's over and we get that information. One guy who I think is a little bit interesting is Keanu Keeney. He's obviously really expensive now, $680,000, and it's probably too much. But I think it's a bit of a pod move to bring him in. If he goes 75-75, he's going to make about $140,000-$150,000. He's a premium option for round 19. Just wanted to put out there that I don't think that's the worst pod move, and then you can look to move him straight to a Latrell or straight to a Ponga in round 20 or 21, just for someone who wants a bit of a pod move and a bit of upside. Can you get around that, Chris?
Yeah, just looking at his draw over that period. Yeah, I actually don't mind that at all. He's obviously going to make some serious cash over that time as well with a very, very low break even.
minus 50 basically. So yeah, I could definitely get around that. And then it's an easy move to a run home absolute premium option. So no, I don't mind it, Matt.
It's probably a bit luxury and you'd want a few trades in the bank, but
definitely. If someone in my position, I can't do it. But
exactly.
No, you got plenty of trades, so definite option.
All right, Chris. Dan's had to drop off, but that'll see us out for tonight. Well done on your rapid rise to 222nd, and we're cheering you all the way into the top 100. So best of luck for round 18.
Thanks, mate. Hopefully it's another good round for me and everyone else. And, see where it lands. It's been good fun tonight, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you all next week. You beauty.